there. Welcome to Let's Talk Tottenham. Last home game of the season, Brentford on Saturday. No Tony for 8 months. His career could be ended, although I imagine he will come back at a club after those 8 months. But for us, last home game of the season in a fairly terrible season. Still no word on the new manager. So that's just going on and on and on and on. West Ham are in a final. So they'll end up, you know, big team apparently, but they'll end up bragging to us that they've won a trophy if they do win it rather than celebrating themselves. But yeah, lots to talk about. Bobby K in the chat. How you doing, Bobby? Thanks so much. Hope you're doing well. Please hit the like. Please hit the subscribe. Also share the video as well. Hit that notification bell too. Like I said, last home game of the season. It's also a double header, the ladies' WSL game, I think, against Reading, which unfortunately is kind of a relegation battle, is on straight afterwards as well. Not sure what they're going to be doing with the pitch, certainly if there's a lot of scuffs and divots and everything from our game for the WSL game. Maybe they've got extra turf there. They have extra turf for the NFL game. But in terms of us, against the Bournemouth team, who have had a fantastic season. It's obviously been marred a little bit by the news of Tony with the betting infringements. We'll come on to him a bit later on. But that's obviously a good thing for us. But it's someone else's opportunity at Brentford to stake a claim, because let's face it, their striker ain't going to be there for 8 months. So I'm not sure how far that is. So June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Looking at January. So it's at least half a season that someone gets to stake a claim and become the top striker there. Whether they will or not, I don't know. He's allowed to train, obviously, 4 months before that. So you'll still be in the setup, essentially, unless they get rid of him, of course. But for us, let's just hope we can go and attack this team and put on a bit of a display for the fans that haven't really been treated to much this season, let's be honest, and attack them. Ryan Mason wants a job, apparently, so he's got to have better auditions than going 2-0 down after 10 minutes in games in the first half and losing the first half. So attack some teams, and starting with Brentford, because Leeds isn't going to be easy when they're fighting for their lives. Big Sam, Ellen Road, which will be loud. That's not going to be easy, the last game of the season. So give a good send-off and to the fans this season in this home game. Talking of send-offs, hopefully this guy gets one. Regardless of what you think of Moore and his career overall, that Amsterdam night is probably the best night that a lot of Spurs fans have had supporting Spurs, all down to him. So hopefully he gets a good send-off. Hopefully he gets a good send-off and gets some minutes, even if it's a five-minute cameo. But, you know, get some kind of send-off so the fans can show their appreciation for what he's done. And regardless of whether he's any good anymore or squad player or what have you, he's never once complained. He always puts a shift in. He always tries. Even the Mourinho era when we were terrible, he was the one generally getting the ball, trying to run at people. Yeah, it didn't come off a lot of the time, but he was trying to make stuff happen rather than just taking the easy route and passing it safe backwards or sideways. And like I say, that Amsterdam night, he's obviously lived off that. Who wouldn't, you know, the etched in history at Spurs, Lucas Moura now because of that night. Fully deserving on that night as well. It's just a shame we couldn't go one further and win the competition. But I remember where I was that night, even though it was 4 years ago. I'm sure everyone else does as well. So hopefully he gets a send-off and the fans can voice their appreciation for him. Even, like I say, if it's only for 10 minutes. And talking of appreciation, this has been built in preparation for the game for one of our own. Harry's turned up to see it. I think he signed it as well. There are a lot of photos going on there, but this is the mural for Kane before the game. Hopefully it's not a goodbye mural. It's just an appreciation of what he's done at Spurs, and not just let's have a mural for him. He's one of our own. He's got the record. Goodbye for now. Hopefully it's not one of those. I'm not sure exactly whereabouts it is near the stadium. I'm not going to the game. I'm at a wedding, so I won't get to see it. But next season, I'm sure it'll still be there. So hopefully it's not too far away and I can see it next season. And he deserves that. He won't get a statue. If Jimmy Greaves and Bill Nicholson can't get a statue, then there's no way in hell Harry Kane's going to get a statue. But Mural's a nice touch. I know Ledley King's got one already. Should be doing more for the legends of the game, like the Greaves, like the Nicholsons, Blanche Flowers, Jennings, so many more. But Mural's a nice touch. Good that he went there as well. Seems quite humble about it and everything like that and appreciative of it. So yeah, nice touch. And yeah, and there will be a lot of protests. I know Brian wasn't around for the Palace game. He was ill. Hopefully he's better now and going to the Brentford game. So if you are that way inclined and want Levy out, I went to the Palace game. Make sure you join in the protests and say hello to Brian and other people that are there as well. It's opposite the club shop. But let's talk about Tony, because this is the big news coming out of not Tottenham, but out of the game, really. He's been banned for 8 months. How will this affect Brentford? We don't know that yet. It's towards the end of the season, so they've only got 2 games left and they can look to evaluate that next season, either getting a new striker in or someone already on their books becoming the new number 9 for them. But, I mean, 8 months, I think, is a bit excessive. I don't actually know the betting infringements. I think there were, well, I don't know how many there were. I was going to say 115, but I think that's the financial irregularities at Man City. And a view from South Stand, Marlon. How you doing, buddy? Sign him now. Would make sense, wouldn't it, in terms of what Levy's done in the past, certainly with Paratici. But be interesting what happens after that 8 months. His value is obviously going to plummet because he's not going to be match fit. He hasn't played, so therefore hasn't scored. Completely out of the England reckoning. Will Brentford cash in 8 months? They're not going to sell him now because no one in their right mind is going to pay money for him. So I would expect he'll stay at Brentford. But yeah, very stupid from him. Very stupid from him. But when he gets 8 months and Luis Suarez gets nowhere near that amount of time for racism against Patrice Evra, I know it was a long, long time ago. And if he did it now, it probably would be a hugely bigger fine. And yeah, Marlon said, oh, he had 263 bets placed after 2021. I mean, that is a lot. That, but yeah, I'm not sure exactly what he was betting on. From my understanding, it's illegal betting on games, presumably with Brentford involved, similar to what Hans Sagers did when he got banned years and years ago. Very stupid, very stupid. It was, I guess, is what happens when these footballers have got so much money they don't know what to do with. So much time because they only train a few hours a day. But very stupid. But like I say, he gets 8 months for that. Luis Suarez for racism didn't get anywhere near that. So the consistency and the levels I find a bit strange. But they've set a precedent now. So if it's 8 months for illegal betting and someone does get convicted in football terms of racism like Luis Suarez did, for me, it's got to be longer than 8 months, at least a year. And this isn't 8 months for just for Brentford or Premier League or England. This is worldwide banned as well. So that's what would need to happen with racism. But hopefully we don't have to talk about that because hopefully that doesn't happen because hopefully players aren't as ignorant as Luis Suarez was back in that day. Fans, that's another different thing. They get lifetime bans, but it should become a criminal matter there, really. And then fined. I've always said if you're convicted of racism at a football match or anywhere, half your year's salary gone. For someone like Tony, it won't make that much difference, half a year's salary. But for someone like you or me, it's a huge amount of money. And then that's a deterrent right there to not do anything like that again because you can't afford to. But anyway, moving off topic slightly. But yeah, how will it affect Brentford? Obviously, he's their number 9. He's their focal point. So in terms of tomorrow's game, it's going to be a lot trickier for them. They haven't got that focal point, and he has scored a hell of a lot of goals this season and caused teams, defences, all sorts of problems. and they won't have him. So they have presumably got to find a way of playing without him. But Thomas Frank, I would have thought, would know what was going to happen here and has made plans for if he was convicted of these infringements. And he's a very, very clever manager. Marlon, again, the rule is he can't bet on Brentford in any competition they are in or his teammates are involved in. Okay, so he's presumably been betting on Brentford or the Premier League or one of the domestic cups. But again, very stupid. But like I say, doesn't really make sense to me when Luis Suarez got what Luis Suarez got. But anyway, and thanks to Marlon for that. Big up, Marlon. Hope you're doing well. A View from the South Stand, that's his YouTube channel. Does it straight after the game generally as well. So make sure you check that out tomorrow. And please hit like, subscribe and share this video as well. And this channel really, really helps. Appreciate everybody who continues to do that. And get yourself involved in the chat as well. Comments, questions, anything. But yeah, we'll go on to how the game will pan out. But in terms of Tony, he's allowed to train after 4 months. So that'll be mid to late September, I'd have said, at Brighton. But again, as we know, there's no substitute for actually playing game and game fitness. So although he's allowed to train and keep his fitness up, he won't be match sharp when he comes back in January or whenever it is next season, if indeed he does come back. So it's going to take him a long, long time to get back. He's banned from all football worldwide. So I'm assuming that also means he's not allowed to play in friendlies or anything like that. So it's all football worldwide. So, yeah, he's really shot himself in the foot. He was pushing on the door of the England squad. That's gone now. He won't get back into the England squad, I wouldn't have thought, ever. Unless he does come back and then starts banging them in like Kane or Haaland are doing. But, again, I don't see that. Certainly not next season, towards the end of next season, around this time, you know, April, May, he'd have got his match fitness back up and he'll probably be doing all right. But, again, too little, too late. And next season is pretty much wasted for him. It's pretty much gone. What they'll do, Brentford, will they buy someone else to replace him? You've got to think that in the summer they will look to buy someone because they've lost a huge, huge presence there and a huge, huge contributor of goals for them. So they presumably can't really keep going without him unless they've got plans to jiggle their squad around, jiggle their formation around. But they haven't really got anyone there who's as physical and clinical as Ivan Toney. So it'd be very interesting what they do. They won't do anything this season, I wouldn't have thought. Only two games left. But Thomas Frank would have presumably known this is likely to happen. So we need plans for if it does happen, in terms of how they play and what happens next season in the summer. So I would imagine he's drawn up a short list of strikers to replace him. Whether, and then if they do that and do bring a striker in, if they hit the ground running, there may be no Tony when he comes back, maybe surplus to requirements. He's allowed to play football again so they can look to sell him. They can't at the moment for 8 months because it's a waste of time and no one's going to buy him. And Anthony Herbert in the chat, how you doing, buddy? Who do you think will be Tottenham manager next season? We'll come on to that next, just after we've talked about Tony. That's on my list. Who do you think will be the manager, Anthony? Interesting to know who you think there. But yeah, with Tony, he'll get a club, I would have thought, after that 8 months, whether it's Brentford, who he comes straight back to, or someone else. It may be cup price. You know, Daniel Levy might say to Brentford will take him off your hands fairly cheap. I mean, that isn't beyond the realms of possibility at all. But let's talk about the Tottenham manager's job. Anthony was talking about it. So Arnie Slot is probably going to get the job. I would have thought he's the bookmaker's favourite. Luis Enrique isn't out of it. But yeah, I would imagine Arnie Slot plays attractive football, will be relatively cheap. Luis Enrique will demand a fee similar to Conte and Mourinho, I would have thought. Whereas Arnie Slot will demand a fee similar to Poch when he took over. I did read today as well that we're going to hijack Chelsea's bid for Pochettino and bring him back. But I think that's easy journalism. So take that with a huge pinch of salt. Don't even pay any attention to it. And Anthony said, in terms of who he thinks, don't think it would be an elite manager, maybe Silva, the Fulham manager. Be interesting that he hasn't really been linked. He was linked, kind of half linked, just after Conte was fired, but haven't really heard too much about him yet, but maybe it'll be a summer thing. But I tweeted Spurs with my application for the Spurs job, all tongue-in-cheek. I essentially said, Bin, you haven't got a new manager, I'm putting my name in the hat. I play attractive football, attacking football, so I'm already better than Nuno was. But I sent this, all tongue-in-cheek, like I say, this is my football manager game. So you can see on the right-hand side, trophies there. Trophies for the last seven seasons. You can add the Champions League onto the top one there, because I just won that as well. And that's a hell of a lot of trophies in 18 seasons. Compared to one trophy in about 20 seasons that we've had. So, yeah. Hopefully they see that and hopefully I can get the job. I won't command a high fee. I'll probably let Levy do predominantly what he wants and just shout at him and swear at him when he annoys me. I'll probably get fired and then get a lot of compensation and that's me done for the rest of my life. All tongue in cheek, like I say, but get so fed up with the fact that it's Nuno all over again. You know, 50 days without a manager, 52, something like that at the moment for us. Where it was about 71. We'll surpass that, I think. All these managers turning them down. I can promise Daniel Levy, if he offers me the manager job, I will not turn it down unless he offers me £1 a year, which I can't imagine that would happen to any manager, regardless of if it's a football manager or an actual manager. But everyone turned us down. I got so fed up. We seem to be going after this person, that person, this person, that person. No idea, no clue, no direction. So I thought I'd chuck my name in the hat. It's a bit tongue-in-cheek. It's obviously been ignored, but, you know, you never know. You never know. You miss all the shots that you don't take. And, yeah, Anthony, I put my CV across to Arsenal fan in charge. I put my CV across Arsenal fan in charge of Tottenham. Imagine that. No offence, Anthony, but I like to think that I have a slightly better chance there being a Tottenham fan, taking over Tottenham rather than an arch rival. But you never know. You never know. If your football manager is better than that, then you never know. But yeah, in all seriousness, Arnie Slot is the front runner now. Feyenoord getting worried that he will leave. It's come out of nowhere a little bit. Postecoglou, I think that's the pronunciation correct. The manager of Celtic, that seems to have died down. Brendan Rodgers seems to have died down. The only real reason I can't really understand the Arnie Slot thing is that there'll be compensation where Brendan Rodgers will be completely free because he's out of work and they both play attractive football. Brendan Rodgers has the benefit also of managing in the Premier League and having that experience. And yeah, Anthony, any news on Harry Kane? Unfortunately not. It's all newspaper talk, so no one really knows. Sky Sports are doing their obligatory yearly Harry Kane wants to leave. No one knows, I don't think, Anthony, other than Harry Kane and Daniel Levy. And if there is a new manager in place and it's a verbal agreement, he probably knows as well. Scott Mann probably knows. But other than that, it's not going to be announced. And Ryan Mason as well, I would have thought. But it's not going to be announced anytime soon. They're going to get the season out of the way first. And then I would imagine having some actual proper chats, serious chats and discussions about what happens there. He'll want to know who the new manager is. He'll want to know the direction, the players that we're potentially bringing in and getting rid of. So I don't think it's anywhere near being resolved, Anthony, on what happens to Harry Kane. He'll know if he wants to leave or not want to leave. He'll know that if he wants to leave this season and Levy vetoes it, that he'll just not sign or will sign and just leave for free or stay on at Spurs. But I would imagine they'll get the season over way. He'll probably have a little holiday. There's no European football, international football, sorry, at the end of the season. If we do get into the Conference League, then that means our season starts about the 26th of July. Isn't ideal with a new manager coming in, but I would imagine the season will finish. Harry Kane will have a holiday, go and have a think about things for a week, come back, let's have a chat. So I would imagine that's what will happen. Carl in the chat, Carl Simpson, how you doing, buddy? And Anthony saying talks was saying that Ryan Mason might get the job full time. He said he wants the job. He's so inexperienced. For me, he needs to go to a lower league team at the least championship level. But for me, I'd apply for him if I was him for the Reading job. You know, there's not going to be a huge amount of pressure. There'll be pressure in terms of getting up the league, and they've got some financial issues. But there won't be anywhere near the pressure taken over at Reading than there will be at Spurs. So if I was him, I'd try and get a job like that. Get your teeth in the door, get some actual managerial experience, not an interim experience, but actual manager. You are the manager. You are the permanent manager, and get that experience of the day-to-day rather than that day-to-day for a few months. You need that day-to-day for at least a year, 2 years, maybe more. So that's what I'd do with less pressure as well. And then I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be manager of Spurs one day. And that may even be in the summer. But one day, certainly, I just wouldn't have him manager at Spurs permanently. He's too inexperienced. And Anthony goes on to say, how many players do you think you need to get rid of? I know Dyer would be top of that list. Well, apparently he's getting a new contract, so apparently not. But apart from Romero and Emerson, probably all of our defence. Udogie is coming back. He's been on loan at Udinese, apparently tearing the Italian league up. So I think he'll come straight back in. So essentially, that's a new signing, even though he is on our books because he's been on loan. Essentially, that is a new signing. It's similar to when a player gets injured for 9 months and comes back the next season. It's like a new signing. But Dyer, I'd get rid of. If he's going to sign a contract, that's fine for me if he's going to be backup. But we know he won't be. He'll be top, one of the top defenders, which is crazy. Sanchez needs to go. Davies, again, backup. I can accept that. Perisic as well, but I think he'll want to go. Midfield, we need a playmaker. We need a playmaker. Certainly, if we're going to have an attacking manager like an Arne Slot who wants to play on the front foot, you need a playmaker. You can't have your number nine being the number nine and the number 10. Yeah, so in terms of getting rid of players, I'd say there's at least six. Lloris is off as well. Forster can be the backup, but we need a brand new goalkeeper. So there's at least six, but I mean, that would be a whole job in itself, Anthony. And Carl Simpson, Mason should be good given the women's job. They're looking for a manager at the moment. They're in interim charge as well. It'd be a good fit. Obviously, there'll be a lot less pressure there, which isn't a bad shout from Carl. A lot less pressure there, but he gets that day-to-day being the manager, permanent manager, and he gets to stay at Spurs, which he loves Spurs. Or championship job needs to cut his teeth properly away from Levy. Yeah, I agree. I think this is the better option. But the women's job would not be a bad job. Women's SL, WSL, sorry. Certainly if they can avoid relegation there and play in the likes of the Chelsea's, the Arsenal's, the United's and all of those teams. But the most important thing is he gets managerial experience, not interim experience. And Anthony Herbert, would you take Graham Potter? I would. I know this will probably anger a lot of people, but I wanted him before we got Nuno, and apparently he turned us down when he was at Brighton. Maybe Chelsea was a bit too much for him, although he'd have the same problem here in the sense that Bowley was, I think, from looking out in, buying players for him that he didn't necessarily want, and he'll probably have the same problem with Levy as well. But yeah, I'd take him for Levy. He'll be free. And yeah, you made me want to play Premier Manager now. A bit jealous of your amount of trophies. Well, your actual team have a lot more than us, so you know, this is just fiction and Football Manager, so I'd rather have those trophies at my actual team and winning Premier Leagues and challenging for Premier Leagues and winning Cups than me doing it on a computer. So, but yeah, Mason has to be in charge somewhere next season, and ideally not us, because he needs that experience. Arne Slot, I don't know a huge amount about him, but it could be another Christian Gross situation. It could be another Martin Yoles situation. We don't know. Martin Yoles, superb. Christian Gross, horrendous. Carl says, I'd take Graham Potter, but I'm still aboard the slot machine now. Get him in. I mean, he would play attacking football. And then as to Anthony's comment, how many players do you think need to get rid of? Also add to that, get in. We'd need to almost completely change the personnel, unless the playmaker is going to be an Alfie Devine. I know Brian Daigle is a huge fan of him. But unfortunately, we're not going to find out if that's justified if no one's going to play him and he doesn't go out on loan. But for me, you bring in a Maddison or someone like that, and then Devine is his understudy. He learns from Maddison, and in a couple of years' time, when Madison's boots are being hung up or starting to think about that, then Devine is completely ready to step in and be that first player on the team sheet. That's what I'd like to see. In terms, I would try and get Ward-Prowse and Maddison. Ward-Prowse, I think, can be a Modric-type player, and for anyone about to jump down my throat, not the level of Modric, but I'm talking about in terms of position, that deep lying playmaker who doesn't have to run about a huge amount, but can spray balls out left, right, and kind of dictate play. Whereas Maddison would be your Eriksen number 10 all over the place, making things happen, kind of free roll. I'd go and get both of them. Obviously, if we get Brendan Rodgers, I think getting Maddison is slightly easier. But I think even if with Rodgers there, and it's Spurs versus Newcastle, where Newcastle are at the moment, if they can convince him that he's in their plans and in their first 11, I don't think it's any contest who he would join there. taking off my Spurs hat for the moment, neither would I. I'd go to Newcastle because they're on the up and they'll be winning trophies, whereas we probably won't. But I'd go and get both of those, and then that solves your attacking kind of way. If you can keep Kane as well, that obviously is beneficial. And then he can concentrate on being a number 9 rather than a number 10. He can always drift and come in, but at the moment it seems like he's required to come deep because we don't have anyone else there, and he's got to do the number 9 job as well. But if you've got a Maddison, you could have them interchangeable. If it was Kulu or Richarlison, Son, Kane, Maddison could be interchangeable, like it was with Poch, with Eriksen, Dele, Son and Kane. It was interchangeable with those four. I think that's a big reason why we were so destructive going forward against teams there. And Ward-Prowse, obviously your free kicks and your corners are dramatically improved there with him. And if he's not around, Maddison could take him as well. It takes Harry Kane off of free kicks as well. But the defence really, really needs work. Really needs work. Romero, I'm still not sure whether he's the real deal. He was made to look good at Argentina in the World Cup because he had better players around him, so he didn't have as much to do. Or he was looking good for Argentina because he had better players there, which meant he could focus on his own job rather than having to worry like he seemingly has to do about Dyer and Emerson when he was a wing-back and Porro asked to defend. I think you find out, you build your defence around him. He's your first on the team sheet in that defence. You get a quality partner with him. Bastoni would be ideal, but I don't think he'll leave. But someone similar to that, I'm not sure who, though, but someone dramatically better than Dyer would be my idea. Goalkeeper, we need a new, brand new number one. And David Vea at Brentford, ironically, who we're playing this weekend, would fit that bill there. I thought he was leaving at the end of the summer, end of the season for free, but apparently it's 40 million, which is a lot of money, But he's quality goalkeeper. We need a brand new goalkeeper because we can't have Hugo. I think he's off, and you can't have Forster as your number one and Whiteman or Austin as your number two, because if Forster gets injured, though, they've never had any experience there. But yeah, and yeah, Anthony, good shout on Ward-Prowse. Does that mean you want him as well, Anthony, at Arsenal? Or you just think he's a good player? It'd be interesting to know that. And think you'd be banking on 100 million to spend next season? always. Depends who the manager is and what he's been promised. And if it's that money given to the new manager or if it has to be generated via sales. You'd think, being the amount of money that we're making from this stadium and everything, you know, if Levy can afford to give himself £500,000 pay rise, you're doing fairly well as a football club in terms of money. You'd like to think it's 100 and anything that's been sold, players are sold, go on top of that. But yeah, I'm not sure. And if Madison's 60 million and you get 100 million, it's not a huge, huge budget, is it really? Ward-Prowse won't be cheap either. I know they've gone down. You could probably get them down because he'll be desperate to leave to get into the England squad. But he's not going to be cheap. And then you need a quality defender, which isn't going to be cheap. So I think unless we have 200 million to spend, I don't think we're going to make a huge dent in our squad unless we bring through, like I say, the Alfie Devines. Mundell apparently wants to leave, but with a new manager who believes in youth, I reckon you could convince him to stay. Dane Scarlett, he might be an understudy, might go out on loan again. There's a few others, Harvey White. And yeah, good player, Ward-Prowse, take him at Arsenal, says Anthony. I think he'll definitely leave. Whether Southampton will go for the big, big price, I'm not really sure they have a huge amount of bargaining power on that anymore after going down. But yeah, let's talk about someone we've already talked about, which I cannot believe we're even discussing this. But let's just do it anyway. This is a guy who's delighted to be potentially stealing a living for another 3 years. Talk about a three-year contract extension for Eric Dier when we need proper good defenders. Yeah, quickly, Anthony Herbert. Arsenal finished fifth last season, had 160 million to spend this season. I'm not sure Levy's going to give that to whoever the new manager is. But in terms of Dier, I actually quite like Dier as a person. I like his attitude and the fact that he talks a good game and wants to win, and then backed his brother in that Norwich game. The issue that I have is, if you're wanting to win leagues, get into Champions League, win cups on a consistent basis, you cannot have an Eric Dier as one of your main centre-backs week in, week out. Unfortunately, despite his attitude and him as a person, he's just not good enough for a top side, which we want to be. And it's a shame because, like I say, I like him and he has had some good seasons with us. Before Wanyama came, he was fantastic in that centre of midfield, defensive midfield, slotting back into the defence in a three centre-back defence when we didn't have the ball and when we were under pressure. He did get an injury, and not an injury, appendicitis, I think he had, and he's never been the same since. And then when Wanyama came in and just destroyed that midfield role, he was unbelievable. Unfortunately, he got injured as well, which led to him having to leave. But yeah, Eric Dier is a centre-back. Like I say, if you're going to give him a contract extension and he's going to be one of your backups, it's not ideal, but okay, fine. And it's probably something to do with about the homegrown in the Premier League as well. For some weird reason, he doesn't count as homegrown in Europe. Not sure why, but in Premier League, he does. So it's probably something to do with that. But again, if he's going to be a backup, okay, I can accept that. And then you go and get someone top quality in. I keep using Bastoni. I don't think he'll leave. Certainly when they win the Champions League. Hopefully win the Champions League. They're definitely in the final. Why would you leave a team like that to go to Tottenham, who potentially aren't even in Europe, and if they are, probably the Conference League? I just don't understand it, really. But I use him as a kind of benchmark because of the level that he is, his top quality. So we need someone of that level, Romero, possible level. Terry Wright in the chat. How you doing, Terry? And yeah, I just don't see... Like Anthony says, 160 million for Arsenal in their transfer budget at the end of last season. I can't see that happening with Tottenham at all. Maybe 100. But again, if you're going to get Maddison for 60 million or 50 million, that's half your money already gone, or maybe even more than half. And a proper, proper good defender isn't cheap. We'll end up getting Harry Maguire, who isn't good enough. But we could raid Liverpool. You know, Firmino wouldn't be a bad shout. And Bayern Munich, Mane's leaving, who... We tried to get Mane, apparently, or Poch wanted to get Mane when he was at Southampton. He's still rapid, quick, knows the Premier League. Firmino, Milner, he's a bit of jack of all trades. In terms of attitude and will to win and know-how, he wouldn't be bad to come in, you know, a bit of leadership. Naby Keita as well, who I think they spent quite a lot of money on, is leaving for free as well. He'd help our midfield out. But we have too many kind of like him. He's not really creative. None of them are, really. Oxlade-Chamberlain kind of is, but I think he's a bit overrated. So, yeah. And Anthony Herbert. I know some fans want Levy out. Change some to a lot. thoughts on him. For me, I am Levy out, as you can see by the logo up here, purple and gold. That's the colours for the Levy out movement. But I don't want him out because I think he's the devil and the worst thing in the world. I just think he's taken us as far as he can now, and he's not willing to take the next step, which is what we need. So it's time for him to move on. I mean, it's constant stories that you hear of he hasn't backed the manager. The manager wants this player. We go and get that player who's a far, far less. You know, we wanted Bastoni. He didn't want to come, so we didn't look for someone else that level. We go and get Longley, who's not that level, on loan. Talk of him being made permanent as well, which we need someone better than that. Skriniar would be perfect. But again, why would you leave Inter Milan when you're potentially just about to win the Champions League to go to a team potentially not even in Europe? But in terms of Levy, I think, yeah, there's a lot who want him out at all costs, that can't stand him. They'll be happy with oil money coming in, which I don't. I'd rather have Levy than human rights violators like Newcastle's and City's. But I think he needs to leave now, Levy, unless he's going to have a change of heart and take the next step. But I don't think he will, because he would have done that already. 16-17 season, when we finished second to Chelsea, that was the time to go and really go big in the summer. Okay, let's go win this league because we're so close. And we didn't. And we slipped down. And he's not willing to take that next step. So, Anthony, I want him out. But I think he has done some good business-wise, financially. He's done a fantastic job with us. Football side, he's done a terrible job. And he won't take the next step and take us to the next level. So, for me, he has to leave. But in terms of and giving Dyer a new contract just shows that, for me, if he does give Dyer a new contract, it shows to me that we're probably not getting a new defence and probably working with this lacklustre one, which isn't going to win you many games and certainly not going to push you up the league to where Arsenal are this season. They got Zinchenko in, who knows how to win. Jesus, who knows how to win. Xhaka completely transformed his game. He had a bit of a mare against Liverpool, which let them back into the game. But on the whole, when you think of Xhaka probably getting himself sent off most games, he's been fantastic this season. Odegaard has completely stepped up. So Saka, so's Martinelli. Ramsdale, top, top quality goalkeeper, I think. And again, we need one of those. We haven't had one for a few years. Lloris has been making mistakes all over the shop. So, yeah, they've got a real, real spine in their team now. Is it Saliba or Salisu in the defence? I can't remember his name now. I do apologise. But real spine throughout their team, which we had under Poch in the 16-17 season and the seasons before and after, which we don't really have anymore. But, yeah, last kind of thing, how will the game pan out? It's quite difficult to know how it will pan out, in the sense of we don't know how Brentford are going to play without Tony there. Whether they're going to change how they play or whether they're just going to put someone up there and play exactly the same way they play. We don't really know. Only Thomas Frank knows that and the Brentford players know that. If they do play how they normally play, they obviously won't have that physicality up front unless they've got someone there who I don't know about. If they play a different way, then we won't know how that will pan out, because it's how we deal with it and how comfortable Brentford are playing that. In terms of us, I'd like to see us go and attack teams. Go and attack teams, which we don't. We probably won't. Palace, I'm not really sure you can call it attacking teams. I mean, we won that game, kept a clean sheet, but it was one of the most boring games I've ever seen. There's no playmaker there at all. No playmaker at all. And therefore, it's just so boring. Just so boring without them. Villa, I didn't see the game, but again, started the game, didn't attack, didn't start the game well, playing catch-up, didn't really do that much. Kane should have been booked for the dive for the penalty. It should never have been a penalty. But without a playmaker, we are so flat. It's side to side, backwards, backwards, backwards. So teams, I think, are happy to just slow the game down and make it boring as well and leave us to take the onus to try and win the game. But we're not equipped to do that at the moment. So that's what I'd like to see, you know. Bring an Alfie Devine in. See what he can do. You know, Mason was a youngster when he was brought in, I think through Poch. He might have been the manager before. But so he knows how itching to get into this team and into this fold young players are who've come through the academy. So give them a chance. You know, it's not working with the lackluster displays and a lack of threat. And our season is pretty much over. There's not really anything to play for. There might, you know, might be Conference League maybe. But it's not a huge amount to play for. So go and take a gamble. Bring Alfie Devine in, see what he can do. Harvey White is another quality player, but he's on loan, so you can't do that. Same with Dane Scarlett. But yeah, see what they can do. See if that brings some creativity. Because if he ends up having a stormer and against Leeds as well, you maybe don't need a James Maddison and Ward-Prowse. You maybe only just need one. But yeah, see, you know, Kulu's had a terrible season. I mean, if we don't sign him, regardless of his season he's had, it'll be a disgrace. We need to sign him. We're trying to bring the price down. Just 35 million isn't that much in this day and age. So just pay. Just pay it, Levy. For goodness sake. Richarlison, I think he'll have a good season next season. He's had a difficult first season playing bit parts, and he got injured as well, World Cup in the middle. If Kane leaves, I can see us not buying a striker, but him going up top. You could then see a Firmino as well. I'd definitely try and look at the prospect of Firmino. Maybe Keita as well, and Milner, certainly Mane. And they'll all be free as well. Obviously, higher wages, but then you save the money on the transfer bill. But yeah, Leicester will get relegated now. Be careful, Chris from Leicester Till I Die could be watching. I've been on his show quite a few times, and every time I do, and he's been on here, he takes a piss out of Spurs and the fact that they've not won a trophy, and Leicester have. So I'm pretty sure that he would admit that. Yeah, me not saying too much is better than he can expect on that one. But yeah, Chris, Leicester Till I Die TV, make sure you check that out. I know it's not a Spurs channel, but make sure you check that out. If you just like football as well, he does a lot of neutral stuff rather than just about Leicester. That's on YouTube as well. But yeah, see what Alfie Devine can do. Morva's leaving. Be nice to see him get a send-off. Yeah. Nice to get see him getting some game time. If he can get a goal as well, that'd be a perfect send-off. But yeah, it's just very difficult. I'll go with a Spurs win because I always do, and that we will try and attack. Brentford haven't really got anything to play with as well. Will they be on the beach? They haven't got their main guy. They've had a fantastic season. It could just be two teams who are on the beach and yeah, just playing just because a game has to be played. But I'll go with a Spurs win. But I don't have a huge amount of faith in that, let's be honest. But yeah, that's pretty much it today. Solo streams on Fridays because I'm at lunch as well. Hopefully there'll be a show on Monday, but I've got some family stuff that I really have to do. So I'm not sure when I'll be back. So there may not be a review of the game on Monday. If not, then it'll be on the Friday. But yeah, if I'm back in time from the family stuff, then I'll create a show. It may just be me though, but we'll see. But at this moment in time, I'm not expecting there to be. I'll do some shorts as well, basically after the game about what I expect. Yeah, and Anthony, I'll get you on my show and Sue. Absolutely, yeah. And when we play Arsenal, if you're free, hopefully we'll be, we'll do the preview and everything like that, and before the season, after the season, a season review, season preview, definitely get you on as well. And yeah, where was I? Yeah, Monday probably won't be a show, but keep an eye out on Twitter and YouTube as well, because I'll let you know if there is. There'll definitely be one on Friday. That'll be Leeds preview. And if I don't do a show on Monday, the Brentford review as well. So make sure you check that out. And let's just hope we can win. Give our fans something to cheer about. But again, not really any expectation now. And just get a manager in. Me, preferably, because then that makes me a millionaire. But if not, just get a manager in and an attacking one. And ideally not Mason, someone with experience. Let Mason go and do his thing, cut his teeth, like Carl said, and then come back in a few years once he's done that. But yeah, That's it for today. Please make sure you check out Chris's Magic as well on YouTube. 7:30 p.m. UK time on Wednesdays when it drops. Last one is a tutorial on a trick that I did, trick 15. So I did that a few months ago. It's a tutorial on a trick. So make sure you check that out. And hit the like, subscribe, and share this video as well and channel. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Thanks so much for watching, for everybody who joined in the live chat and added comments. Before you go, please leave a like and hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Also, please hit that notification bell. That'll give you a notification every time we're about to go live, and it's all completely free. For those who missed the live show, you can catch this whenever you want on Let's Talk Tottenham's YouTube channel. Please also hit the like, subscribe and notification bell. And everybody, please leave feedback, comments, suggestions in the comments section. For those of you who listen to the audio podcast, thank you so much for listening. Anyone who wants that audio podcast, you can pick that up wherever you get your podcast from. We're back Mondays, 7:30 p.m. UK time, and Fridays, 12:30 p.m. UK time. Alternatively, if you go to Twitter, @LTalkTottenham, Instagram, Let's Talk Tottenham Podcast, you'll find all the information there. Anyone who wants something a little bit different, also do a magic show. So I do one trick a week, which drops Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. UK time. Chris's Magic on YouTube is where you'll find that. But in the meantime, come on, you Spurs.